Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Greetings, story lovers, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Tales for Life, the podcast that journeys through life one tale at a time. These days, we're surrounded by messages promising the fastest route, the shortcut, the overnight transformation. We're encouraged to move quickly, succeed early, and stay constantly visible while doing it. But the older stories, these quiet, enduring tales, offer a different kind of wisdom. They remind us that meaningful growth often happens slowly, in the background, and through effort that doesn't get a lot of applause. In a world wired for speed, these stories ask us to slow down and consider, what's the value of hard work today? Not for immediate payoff, but for something richer tomorrow. That's the spirit behind this week's episode. It's about the kind of perseverance that doesn't show up in a highlight reel, but shows up all the same. The kind that keeps going quietly, faithfully, even when no one's watching. Today's story is called The Crow, a Slavic folktale first published in English in 1894 by Andrew Lang in The Yellow Fairy Book. Let's step into it. Once upon a time, there were three princesses, who were all three young and beautiful. But the youngest, although she was not fairer than the other two, was the most lovable of them all. About a half a mile from the palace in which they lived, there stood a castle, which was uninhabited and almost a ruin. But the garden which surrounded it was a mass of blooming flowers, and in this garden the youngest princess used often to walk. One day when she was pacing to and fro under the lime trees, a black crow hopped out of a rose bush in front of her. The poor beast was all torn and bleeding, and the kind little princess was quite unhappy about it. When the crow saw this, it turned to her and said, "I am not really a black crow, but an enchanted prince who has been doomed to spend his youth in misery. If you only liked, princess, you could save me. But you would have to say goodbye to all your own people and come and be my constant companion in this ruined castle. There is one habitable room in it, in which there is a golden bed. There you will have to live all by yourself. And don't forget that whatever you may see or hear in the night, you must not scream out. For if you give as much as a single cry, my suffering will be doubled." The good-natured princess at once left her home and her family and hurried to the ruined castle and took possession of the room with the golden bed. When night approached, she lay down, but though she shut her eyes tight, sleep would not come. At midnight, she heard, to her great horror, someone coming along the passage, and in a minute her door was flung wide open and a troop of strange beings entered the room. They at once proceeded to light a fire in the huge fireplace. Then they placed a great cauldron of boiling water on it. When they had done this, they approached the bed on which the trembling girl lay, and, screaming and yelling all the time, they dragged her towards the cauldron. She nearly died with fright, but she never uttered a sound. Then of a sudden the cock crew, and all the evil spirits vanished. At the same moment, the crow appeared and hopped all round the room with joy. It thanked the princess most heartily for her goodness and said that its suffering had already been greatly lessened. Now, one of the princess's elder sisters, who was very inquisitive, had found out about everything and went to pay her youngest sister a visit in the ruined castle. She implored her so urgently to let her spend the night with her in the golden bed that at last the good-natured little princess consented. but at midnight, when the odd folk appeared, the elder sister screamed with terror. And from this time on, the youngest princess insisted always on keeping watch alone. So she lived in solitude all the daytime, and at night she would have been frightened had she not been so brave. But every day the crow came and thanked her for her endurance, and assured her that his sufferings were far less than they had been. And so 2 years passed away, when one day the crow came to the princess and said, "In another year I shall be freed from the spell I am under at present, because then the 7 years will be over. But before I can resume my natural form and take possession of the belongings of my forefathers, you must go out into the world and take service as a maidservant." The young princess consented at once, and for a whole year she served as a maid. But in spite of her youth and beauty, she was very badly treated and suffered many things. One evening, when she was spinning flax and had worked her little white hands weary, she heard a rustling beside her and a cry of joy. Then she saw a handsome youth standing beside her, who knelt down at her feet and kissed the little weary white hands. "I am the prince," he said, "who you and your goodness, when I was wandering about in the shape of a black crow, freed from the most awful torments. Come now to my castle with me, and let us live there happily together." So they went to the castle, where they had both endured so much. But when they reached it, it was difficult to believe that it was the same, for it had all been rebuilt and done up again. And there they lived for 100 years, 100 years of joy and happiness. It's easy to hear a story like The Crow and think of it as just another fairy tale, something fanciful set in a world far removed from our own. But buried in that old language and magic is a truth that still resonates. Enduring effort matters. The quiet work, the daily resolve, the strength to keep showing up even when no one applauds. It still shapes lives, just as it did for our silent heroine. In this tale, it's not power or cleverness that carries the day, it's patience. The young woman doesn't rush the process or look for a way out. She accepts the task in front of her and commits to it, trusting that the work itself is meaningful even before the reward appears. Her silence isn't weakness, it's focus. Her perseverance is what breaks the curse, not a sudden act of heroism, but the slow, faithful rhythm of doing what needs to be done. And look at how her journey unfolds. She endures hardship not once, but again and again. Haunted nights, thankless labor, uncertainty. Yet each phase of her trial builds her strength and makes the outcome possible. There is no 100 years of happiness in the end without every step along the way. The message isn't just that good things come to those who wait. It's that those who work and wait with purpose are often the ones who end up changing everything. So if you're in the middle of something long, something tiring, something that feels invisible, this story is for you. Keep at it. Trust the process. What you're building today is shaping your tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Tales for Life. I hope you'll join me next time as we continue to explore the wisdom wrapped in folklore, one story at a time.